I love you. Good to be here. I missed you last week, last Wednesday, and last Sunday night, and last Sunday morning, I think, but I had a good time preaching. I really did. Thank you for allowing me to go and, you know, preach, and just, it was good. I had great service, and I believe the Lord will continue to work, because His Word will not return void. It will not return unto Him void or useless. It will accomplish everything that it's set out to do. Amen? All we got to do is deliver the Word. Plant the seed. Amen? Amen. I read a statement today that really, really touched my heart. It said, the happiest people don't necessarily have the best of everything. They just make the best of everything. And I think about that, and that's so true. And I heard about a young girl in the United States. She was a runner at her school. Well, she was so poor, she couldn't afford running shoes. So she took tape and taped her toes, taped her feet up, her heels, and made shoes out of tape. And then she took a pen and drew a Nike emblem on that tape. And this girl won every medal that she could win in that school. She won the gold medal, other medals, and she was so happy, amen. Now, she didn't have the best of everything, but she knew how to make the best of everything. And I think that's what God's people ought to think about often. Take your Bible, turn with me tonight to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 1 and 2. In this scripture, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible also tells us about running a race in this scripture. I'd like to look at it as the faith race or faith Olympics. You see, we're running a race. Now listen to me very carefully. You're not in this race to be saved. A lot of people think, well, I'm running a race. I'm going to win this race. And if I win this race, I'm going to be saved. No, you've missed the point. You're in this race because you are saved. And you're to run the race of faith. And see, running this race isn't for you. Winning this race isn't for you. Winning this race is for others to see you win the race so they can be saved, so they can grow in the Lord, so they can join in the race. Talking about this race, I want us to think about it because Hebrews chapter 12, or the book of Hebrews, is awesome. I'm telling you, because in chapter 10, the Bible teaches us that we're saved by faith through grace in chapter 10. Three of the greatest faith chapters are found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible tells us that we are saved by faith and washed in the blood of the Lord, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, these people lived the life of faith. That's Hebrews chapter 11. You probably well know that that is the book that is called the Heroes of Faith. And you'll see a lot of different people mentioned in chapter 11. And it says these people lived their life by faith. What a great chapter. But in chapter 12, it tells us how you and I can live the life of faith. In chapter 12, look what it says in verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, that's very important. Every word in the Word of God is important. Every word. Everything that's written in the Word of God is for our learning, for our example, for our education spiritually. Look what it says. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, I want to call your attention to that one verse. It's so odd to have joy and the cross together in the same sentence. It just blows me away. But Jesus, look what it says. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You can be seated. This is the most important race that you'll ever run. The most important race. It's the faith race. And we sing that we have victory in Jesus, and we do, praise God. We've got victory in Jesus, and the great thing about it, I want you to understand, though, you still got to run the race. You know, there's victory in Jesus, but a lot of people think, well, I'll do okay. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to learn how to live by faith. Jesus is going to do that, and listen, he is the author and finisher of your faith, but I'm going to tell you something. You still got to get in the race. You still got to run the race. Why? Because it's not for you. You're not running the race for you. You're running the race for other people, that you'll be a good witness. And they'll see you winning the race. And they'll want to be saved. And they will, praise God, they'll get saved. And they'll join with us in the race. So it's very important how you run this race. The most important race that we could ever discuss, that we could ever talk about. And that's life's race, or the life of faith, living by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. This is a race, and it's called the faith race. There's three things I want to call to your attention from these verses that I think that will help us all when it comes to winning the race. The first thing is this. In verse 1, we must look around us. If you're going to be a winner in this race, you've got to learn to look around. This race is not for you. The Bible says we are encompassed. Look what it says. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You've got to realize that in your race, to win this race, you got to look around. You got to know that other people are watching you. The Bible says there are a great cloud of witnesses, folks. They have always watched us. People have always watched how we live our life. They scrutinize us. They look at us. They judge us, or judge who we are, but by what we do in life. This is. In other words, we're in a great arena. We're in a great arena, and that is the arena of faith. Many, many people are watching us. Eyes are upon us as we run our race of faith, because it will impact their life. Saved people have always been watched. Now listen to me. Saved people have always have been watched. They will always be watched. Somebody is watching you. If you call yourself a Christian, you better believe eyes are on you. They're on you. Noah. You remember Noah? He built an ark, didn't he? Got a message from God. God told him how to build it, the dimensions, the blueprints, where to build it. And it had never rained before. But he was going to build an ark, a boat, in the desert. And he believed God. Don't you think people watched him? They watched him over and over for 120 years. They watched him build that ark. They watched his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They watched his wife. They watched the boy's wife. They watched him. 8 people. They watched him. They scrutinized them. Their eyes were upon them as they ran their race of faith. But it's always happened. Abraham, he was watched. People watched him. As he went out, God spoke to him and said, Abraham, I want you to go out. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you where you're going to go, but when you get to where I want you, you'll recognize it. He also told Abraham, I want you to go out and I want you to look for a city whose builder and maker is God. Don't you think they watched him? They watched Noah, they watched Abraham, they watched Moses. As Moses went to Pharaoh, don't you think all eyes was upon Moses as he went to Pharaoh? How is Moses going to handle Pharaoh? What will God do? What will Moses do? All eyes were upon him. But I think the greatest one, they're all great, but one that really touches my heart is David. When he killed Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, It's a big chapter. You can read it when you get home, but let me give you a little background. Well, the Philistines have come up against God's people. You know that. And God's people were on one mountain. And the Israelites was on one mountain, and the Philistines were on the other mountain. And you know how for 40 days, listen, 40 days, Goliath intimidated the children of Israel. When they would go out, Goliath would thunder, and the Bible says the men would just take off running. But here comes little David, the shepherd boy. He comes up and there he sees what's going on. And verse 26, the key to this verse, he asks him what's going on, and he looks at Goliath and he calls him this. He calls them an uncircumcised Philistine. Now that means a great deal. We're all adults. We all know what circumcision is. You know the thing about it during the Old Testament, to have a covenant. Our God is a covenant God. Our God makes promises to his people. And it's a covenant. We are under the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are under the blood of Jesus. That's a new covenant. The Bible says in Hebrews, we've got a far better covenant than the Old Testament. Circumcision. But as David goes up there and he sees Goliath, he says, hey, he's just an uncircumcised Philistine. He cannot hurt me. He cannot touch me. I'm going to take him down once and for all. You know why David could say that? Because he was under the covenant of God. And the great thing about it, you know the story. You know what happened? Oh, Goliath, listen, he was up on that hill, and that little David goes out, and he's got his slings. He picks up five rocks. He takes a rock, and he slings it around. And I like to look at it this way. He rocked old Goliath to sleep. Rocked him to sleep. Amen? And he fell out dead. And then David said, I'm not done with him. He took his own sword and went up and cut his head off. Don't you think people are watching him? You see, people are watching us. There's a great cloud of witnesses watching you at work, at school, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your family. They're watching you. Run your race. I remind you, running your race is not for you. It's for those that are watching you. The first thing we got to do is must look around us. But the second thing we got to do, we must look within us. The Bible says, lay aside every sin and weight that doth easily beset us. The language here is so powerful. Sin, and then it goes on to say a weight. A weight. Now, a weight may not be a sin. It's a weight, though. It's keeping you from running your race. It could even be a good thing. It could be even something that you enjoy to do, enjoy doing. The Bible says, lay aside that sin that will beset you. Listen to this. You think about running a race. A winner in the race prepares to win. You just don't win by accident. You prepare to win that race. Not only that, winning is no accident. Winners take steps that lead to victory. Runners are slowed by weight. You'll never see a runner running in a heavy coat or heavy clothes or cowboy boots. You'll never see a runner that who's running a race, he's wearing the right clothes. He doesn't want any weight. He don't. Why? Because he can run faster. He can have more stamina. He can run. He can win the race. He can put everything that's in him into this race. And I encourage you to put everything that you have in you in this life's race. Because somebody is watching you. Now listen to me. Winners don't carry anything to slow them down. Listen to this. Bad habits are first like cobwebs, but then they become cables. Things in our life can for a while be just like cobwebs, but then all of a sudden they're cables. And we can't get through them. The Bible says, lay aside every sin and weight that does easily beset you. Now, what does that mean? Listen to me. Lay aside anything that dulls your interest in God. Lay aside anything that would dull your interest in God. Number two, lay aside anything that keeps you from the Bible. Lay it aside. Lay aside anything that hurts your testimony. The only thing you have in your life that's worth anything is your testimony. You lose your testimony, you lose your influence. You've got to keep your testimony. You've got to watch out for your testimony. You don't want to lose your testimony. If you lose your testimony, listen, you may get your heart right with God and get straightened out. And I believe you can, don't get me wrong, but I want to tell you something. There'll be people that was watching you, and they will laugh at you. Guard your testimony. Sometimes temptation may come into your life to do the wrong thing, and let me tell you what to do. Hit the King's highway. On the King's highway, you always run. Run from it. If you're tempted, run from it. If you're caught in temptation, get away from it. It's not worth, I don't care what it is, it's not worth losing your testimony. Amen? But listen to me. Lay aside anything that keeps you from church. That's a weight. You can't get closer to God by missing church. A lot of people think they can. People are so deceived. I told somebody this week, I was talking to somebody, and they said, I asked them, I said, why don't you come to church? Well, over the years, I've got all kinds of excuses, all kinds. Some legitimate. I had to work. I was sick. You know, the thing about it is, when somebody is sick in the family, everybody else got to stay there to wipe their nose. It seems like. When somebody's sick in the family, all right, that's a day off. We don't have to go to church. Listen to me. Lay aside anything that would keep you from coming to church. Some things are legitimate. Some things, listen, work, sickness, things of that, some other things. You know, you just can't come. You want to, because the Holy Spirit would put a desire in you to worship God. Now, if you don't have that desire to worship God, you've missed something. Because the Holy Spirit of God in you will make sure that you have a desire to worship God, a desire that cannot be quenched. I like what Brother Williams said the other day. He said, you know, you may see me struggle, but you'll never see me quit. I kind of like that. I like that. You see, there's victory in Jesus, but you've got to get in the race. You've got to run your race. Not for you. I want you to get that. I'll keep repeating myself. I want you to know, running your race is not for you. It's for others. And then the third thing is this. We must look to Jesus. Isn't that what it says? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author of it. That means He gave it to us. He wrote it. He designed it. He developed it. You don't have faith on your own. He gives you faith to believe. He's the author and finisher. But you've got to run the race. Listen to me. These three words are for winners. Three words, looking unto Jesus. Looking, the word looking there means to look over and over and over again. It means to keep looking. To keep looking. Looking unto Jesus because he's the author and finisher of our faith. Now listen to me. Others will let us down. They will. I wrote down people might let you down. Listen, I wrote that. Listen, I raced that. Ain't no might to it. Mites are on chickens. Amen. Might Listen, Jesus will never let you down, but people will let you down. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. But Jesus will never let you down. Jesus never fails. He never fails. Why look at Jesus? Why look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith? Let me give you three things right quick. Number one, look to Jesus for encouragement. You're not going to get encouragement from a lot of people. If you have someone that loves you, that cares about you, that's really encouraging you and not lying to you, and it's real encouragement, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. You take care of them. You encourage them. We look unto Jesus because he is our encouragement. Look at verse 3 of chapter 12. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You've got to look unto Jesus. You've got to consider him that endured such contradictions from sinners, of sinners, even against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. It is true, the first thing to go is your mind. It's true. But spiritually, that's where the battle is. That's where the battle, the battle, Satan attacks your mind. Jesus will speak through the Word of God to your heart, but Satan will always attack the mind, the mind, the mind. And that's why you've got to fill your mind with good things. Fill your mind with the Word of God. When he attacks your mind, quote Scripture. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Why do we look unto Jesus? We look to him for encouragement, but secondly, we look to him for consistency. You want to be consistent in your life? So many Christians nowadays are up and down, in and out, never really getting it where they can say, you know, I'm a member of this church. I'm going to be there. It's just like I was talking about when I asked people, you know, I asked a person, why don't you come to church? And they said, well, you know, we've legitimate answers, but a lot of them said, you know, I want to go fishing. A lot of them said, I just didn't want to come. A lot of them said, I got to sleep in. A lot of people said, well, Sunday is my only day off. And I told them, and a lot of church members don't realize what they do when they join a church. We have a church covenant. When you joined this church, you made a promise, not to me and not to this church, you made a promise to God, because everything up there is Scripture. You promised you would be faithful. You promised that you would serve God by serving people. You promised that you would tithe and give. You promised that you would get under the authority of the Word of God. You promised that you would listen to your pastor when he's trying to guide you. All those, a lot of people, they don't even know, they don't even have a clue why they joined a Southern Missionary Baptist church. Don't have a clue. They join, they get baptized, and that's it. No growth. Stay that way for 50 years and die. You want to be consistent? Look at verse 8 of chapter 13. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That's pretty good consistency. You want to be consistent in this race? You need encouragement in this race? But the third thing is this, look unto Jesus, because he is the perfect example. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Whoo! Wow! You mean, Brother Roger, I can follow the steps of Jesus? The greatest person that ever lived? The creator of all things? The God of the universe? You can follow him. Why? Because he is our example. I'm going to read it again because you want me to. I know you do. For even hereunto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. You see, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Give it your all. Oh, listen to me, brothers and sisters. Give it your all. Give it your all, because I want to tell you something. There is a cloud of witnesses watching you. Again, I say the race that you're running is not to save you. You're not running a race to get saved, to be saved. You're running a race because you are saved. And your race is always for someone else. And you've got to think about that every day of your life. I read this afternoon. Christopher Columbus. I like him. Amen. Santa Maria. What's the other one? Pentanina or something. Nina. Penta and Santa Maria. Three ships. Amen. Came for what? Religious freedom. They had it so rough. But I guarantee you, by all rights, he had the right to quit. He had the right. He could have quit. No one would have blamed him. It was so rough, disease, disaster on those boats. But I'm going to tell you something. If he had quit, no one would have ever remembered him either. Listen what he said. And he put this in the journal or the log in the Santa Maria. Day after day, Columbus entered these words in the log or the journal of the Santa Maria. This day, we sailed on. Woo! This day, we sailed on. Sail on! Brothers and sisters, sail on! Every day of your life. Because somebody is watching. Amen. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. We're going to have a hymn of invitation then. You know, think about, lay aside the sin or weight that has really got you struggling in your walk with Jesus, in your race. Only you know. Only you know. Whatever the need might be, you just come. Come to the Lord. He's right here, I'm telling you. You see, the altar, this isn't an altar. You know who you come and kneel to? Jesus. He's the altar. He's the altar now. You come. Won't you stand?
Time.